This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
And you perhaps recently heard on the news that many countries now are moving fastly towards self-sufficiency. And that means that the good days for America are getting better and better. So you know, we used to preach and God's Spirit was on us. God's Spirit was with us. And we used to preach in the Temple of Islam that one day the rich man gonna die and old Lazarus gonna have to cut him a noose. See, that's a Bible story where Lazarus, he found him a situation. He was hungry for so long and out of job and out of house and home and everything for so long until once he got a rich man to let him hang around his table and eat what fell off his table, he didn't want to go nowhere. He got so attached to the rich man's house and situation, the crumbs and stuff the rich man knocked off the table when he got sleepy and half drunk, you know, his elbow hit and knock a half-eaten chicken fly off the table. And after a while, he dropped a bitten-off cupcake that fell off all off the table, you know. He spilled his glass of wine, and Lazarus licked it up off the floor. And that got so good that Lazarus said, hell, I drink wine, man, that's been aged for 40 years. The best from the best vineyards. The best cook in the world prepared my cupcakes. Now he's getting, you know how he's getting them now, but he brags like that. So we used to say one day, you know, rich man gonna die, and Lazarus gonna have to leave his house. Now you might say, well, are you advocating the same thing your father advocates? No, my father was aiming at what I'm now advocating. But the circumstances my father was in would not allow him to bring it home. I'm not advocating that we have separate states. I know the white man killed his own white brother down south for trying to have separate states. I know we're not going to get any separate states. I don't want any separate states if you're going to call it Georgia and Alabama and stuff like that. But if you're going to call it Wallace, I want my separate state. I want to be the boss in my separate state. Yeah, if it's Rashid and Wallace, Radu Dean and George and Muhammad and Ben Ali and things like that, yes, we want our separate state. We don't want no other authority ruling in our state but us under God. And then we want to come together as independent governments in our individual cell. And we want to do things collectively. We want to cut our costs collectively. We want to bring life to the ghetto collectively. We want to move out the intruders collectively. We want to build substance collectively. We want to build an economy collectively. And we can do it if we have the government of ourselves. Because the only thing that holds us back from that achievement is being deprived of the government of ourselves. So we're too weak. We don't have the government of ourselves. They put a pretty white woman on us, and we give up the project. Put a sissy on us, and we give up the project. Offer us a fifth of a dollar or a few dollars more, and we give up the project. We're out for hire. Eh? Because we don't have the government of ourselves. So the only thing we need to get rid of the problem of being in the crossfire of Gog and Magog is to come to Allah, come to the Quran, follow the best examples, God's men, not the world's man, God's men, follow the prophets. And the best of them in the completeness that God wants for man is Muhammad the last one. That's the answer. Come into the government of the individual. And let no man invade your private and sacred domain. Only let God dictate what should happen there. then you'll be successful. And we won't be vulnerable. We won't be subjects. We won't be victims of Satan's strategies, Satan's deceits, his snares, his tricks, his traps. We escape all of that because we won't be a target for him. No, he would have to bypass us. He would have to reach us through a victim. So what should we be doing? We should be trying to alert, alarm, inform as many of our sleeping people as we can. We should practice the method of propagation that Prophet Muhammad gave us. Peace and the best will be upon the Prophet. He charged all of his followers that once you learn one line, take that one line and go and give it to somebody that doesn't know it. He didn't wait until they got a PhD, a sheepskin, or some other token indicating that they had gone through studies for so many weeks, for so many years. He didn't wait. That as soon as you learn and understand and are able to apply one line, go then and inform another one of that. So if you understand this religion, if you understand one principle, one idea, one basic, if you understand La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, go out there and pass it on to somebody else. If you understand the practical benefits of prayer, turning to God, remembering Him 5 times a day, to keep your 5 senses alive, to keep your government strong, go and pass that on to another person. Huh? If you understand the meaning of charity, how it is a requirement of nature, it's a natural requirement of human nature that keeps our emotional life healthy, keeps our moral life living. Charity increases the moral life in the individual, makes them stronger, and pass on that information to another person so that they will also accept the principle of charity in their life. That no matter how poor or how bad their circumstances are, they will have the spirit of charity. They can't give money, give somebody a nice greeting this morning. Give them a nice greeting tonight. Show them kindness today. Show them consideration. Be courteous. That's charity. Huh? Even though you ain't got no money. And because you only got $5 and somebody come up to you and they look bad and they hungry, you know you're going to live tomorrow. You see yourself living tomorrow. You can see your way through tomorrow. Why not give up 2 or 3 of these dollars? It's going to help this person see through today. Huh? Pass it on to somebody else and tell them where it came from so they will be part of the army of the saints. Don't pass it to them and don't tell them where it came from. They will not have identity. They will not be in the company of the order that God wants. Tell them where it came from. So that comes from God. Allah reveals that. That's in the holy book. Yes. Tell them fasting is good for you. So don't eat every day and all the time. Anytime your belly wants some food, don't just eat until you die. Let there be a son over your government. Let there be a ruler in your house. Have the ruler say no food today until 8 o'clock this evening. Even if they don't fast the Ramadan month like we do. If we can pass it on to people to restrain their appetites for at least a few days a year, it will help us. Because when one restrains his appetite, he increases his strength. It's an exercise of the will. And like the exercise in the arm makes the arm stronger, exercising the will makes the will stronger. Pass it on to another. Can't make everybody believe in Hajj, but tell them. God intends that we know the unity of man, the oneness of man, that though men look different in their faces and in their features and in their colors, that they are all one family, they are all from one ancestor. And God intends that we one day be one conscious community on this earth. Huh? Tell them. And tell them where you got it from. Say, God revealed that. Praise be to Allah. I see, last Sunday I came out to the masjid and Jehovah Witnesses, it looked like it was about four or five of them on our block. They were going from door to door early in the morning. I left my block and I went on Stony Island, and there was one of Farrakhan's followers putting up the sign, putting up the poster, announcing Farrakhan will speak tribute to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the late leader, on Circus Campus. And I come here and I saw the same few faces that I see every Sunday. And I said to myself, when will these people who stay there with me do half what they used to do for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? When will they do half what the Jehovah Witnesses are doing? Half what Farrakhan's followers are doing? When will they make half the effort that others are doing, that others are making? They're afraid to invite a friend, afraid to invite a relative, afraid to go out and spend 2 hours to acquaint somebody with what we're doing here. Afraid. Have no spirit to do it. No spirit to do it. So that's because you're too weak. You're too weak. And you know, when you invite people to come to a situation of ease or relaxation, you got to be careful. See, when we invite people to come to a situation of ease, a relaxed life, we mean come into a normal and natural state. We don't mean put down your defenses. We don't mean put down your desire to achieve, give up promoting progress, forget about work. We don't mean that. But see, a man like myself in his innocence invites people to give up a naturalness and invite people to walk away from sergeants, lieutenants, and captains, and be responsible for themselves. See, in my innocence, I thought my message was coming home. I thought it was being understood that I'm saying, come from slavery to freedom, not come from work to idleness. Real freedom is a better opportunity, a better situation for more work. With the natural situation, you should be working harder than you were in that unnatural situation. And a few of us are, but the great majority are not. So I was naive. I was not aware. I thought the followers of Honorable Elijah Muhammad were thinking people. But I found out the majority of his followers were just emotional push buttons. They weren't very different from the average churchgoer. Just an emotional push button. You push the right button, you get results. You talk logic, they go to sleep. Because they haven't been turned on to a higher plane of life.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Dean Muhammad.